Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
All right, what's up, everybody? What's cracking? It's the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast here on a Wednesday, a very happy Wednesday for TJ Jefferson. Adam, what's up, fellas?
Happy holidays, everyone. It's 420.
Hey.
Happy holidays.
Hey, let's start this show with breaking news. We're filming this, recording this on Wednesday afternoon. It's 12:30 Pacific, and Woj tweeted out about an hour ago, Devin Booker, MRI results on his right hamstring. Unlikely that he's going to play in games 3 and 4 in New Orleans. That was kind of the big thing last night, guys. I didn't think that was going to be any type of game. Phoenix looked great in game one. Chris Paul had a huge game. Devin Booker comes out and throws in 31 in the first half, and you're like, all right, well, they're cruising. This is probably going to be a sweep. Booker goes down. Now he's out 3 and 4. How has this series changed? Does New Orleans now have a chance to pull the upset? Adam, you start.
Do I think New Orleans will win the series? No. But can they take it to 7 games? Absolutely, they
can.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Booker being out games 3 and 4, that's huge for New Orleans. Their crowd's going to be rocking there. Brandon Ingram looked fantastic in game 2. McCollum looked great also. So you have the 2 stars against essentially 1 now with Chris Paul, with Booker being out. So yeah, no, I think that the Suns are in trouble right now. I still think they will win the series, but you know, this is more than they bargained for, I think.
Man, TJ, 7 games? You think Phoenix has a chance here?
I'm telling you what, Booker's out for how long, it's being said?
At least 3 and 4.
Okay, well, let me explain something to you. Brandon Ingram.
Ballin',
right? And you look at Brandon Ingram, he's one of those guys who has that perfect NBA build, right? He's 6'9", 6'10", long arms, can handle the rock, can shoot. Brandon Ingram balled out last game. And let me tell you what, without Devin Booker in the lineup, here's what's going to happen. I'm just going to make a wild prediction. Zion is going to pull a Willis Reed at some point. He's stepping onto the court. I believe if Devin Booker misses more than 2 games, the Pelicans are going to upset the Suns, because it's very obvious. He's such an important piece of that Suns puzzle. You take him out, where do those 31 points come from? Who makes up for what Devin Booker brings to the table?
I just believe
if 2 games, cool. Anything more than 2, Suns are in trouble. Don't let Zion come back, because we're looking at an upset of I can't remember. Remember when the Nuggets won?
Yeah, Nuggets. Yeah.
Nuggets over the Sonics. Sonics. Golden State.
Golden State over the Jazz.
Oh, there'd be Dallas, right, one year?
Yeah, Baron Davis.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't that the Jazz when he dunked on Kirilenko?
Yeah. I mean, I think, Chris Paul can pick up the scoring slack a little bit. Jay Crowder's not going to be 2 for 11, whatever he was last night, 0 for 5, I think, from 3. Had that in a parlay, didn't hit. Mikal Bridges, you're going to have to ask him to do a little bit more scoring. You're going to have to ask everybody to pick it up a little bit, because, like you said, where are you going to replace 31 points? He might have had 45 last night, like Jimmy Butler, which we'll talk about in a minute. I mean, I legit thought that, you know, Mike's 63-point scoring mark in the playoffs might be, we might see a little threat to that last night, and then suddenly, you know, he goes down after fist bumping the kid. Why is there a kid in the front row at an NBA game? I know we got lots to talk about, but that was crazy. Okay.
Parents are wealthy.
So you guys really think that New Orleans is in this series and they got a shot to win? Adam.
And I just want to point that out again. 07 Warriors, in case we were like unclear about that. The Baron Davis over Kirilenko.
That was 07.
Yeah.
Right.
But didn't they beat the Mavericks also at one point?
They beat the Mavericks in a big upset too. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But you really think New Orleans has a shot here?
Yeah, I really do, especially like what TJ said. If Booker is out more than 2 games, then they're really in trouble. I mean, you're going to have Bridges and Cam Johnson really step up and make up that scoring load that Booker has. And so, yeah, I think that New Orleans can definitely win the series. If I had to put my money on it right now, I still think the Suns will win. But if you get a Willis Reed moment with Zion coming back and he sees that there's potential to beat the Suns, say, how about this? What if it's game three and New Orleans has a big win, so they're up 2-1, back home for game four up 2-1. He sees that they can actually win this series. Zion comes back for game four. The crowd goes crazy. New Orleans could win the series.
God, it's really set up, too. You know, if they do hold home court, TJ win game three, take a 2-1 lead. Now suddenly the Suns, the perennial playoff team of the last few years, contenders, almost won the championship last year. They've been the best team the entire regular season. This Chris Paul essence that's going on now. And then suddenly they're one and done because Zion comes back and there's an upset. Is that the most Chris Paul thing to ever happen in his career?
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many. As a Clipper fan, you know, 2 years ago I sat here in this chair and I broke down like just the bad luck that the Clippers have experienced throughout the playoffs during the years. And, you know, Chris Paul, broken finger, pulled hamstring, broken hand. And in this season, when he got hurt a few months ago, I was like, well, look, maybe we got the playoff injury Chris Paul out of the way early, so maybe he can make it through these playoffs, you know, without missing any time. But it's all going to come down to Booker. No Booker, it's going to be bad business for the Phoenix Suns.
Gosh, it's so crazy. All right, so before any games played tonight, handicap the West right now. Top four, who's coming out of each series? And then who's going to the finals right now?
Before we do that, let's touch on a little bit on each of the series.
I just want to talk about, because we're talking about Phoenix.
But we haven't even got to the other teams yet to even say who I think is going to go on. Like, I'll jump ahead and I'll say the Warriors then. You know, like Golden State.
That's what I mean. That's why I want to talk about that in terms of everything.
To me, I said before the playoffs started, that I thought Golden State was going to win the West. And games one and two made me even further convinced that they're going to win this conference. I really think that they're the team to beat right now. You saw it just completely dominating games one and two against Denver. Denver didn't even look like they had a chance either game. So I think Golden State's the odds-on favorite right now.
What's funny is that Denver jumped out to they were up 10, and then all of a sudden Steph comes off the bench and it's bang, and Jordan Poole suddenly looks like Michael Jordan. And it's kind of crazy. Like, Draymond Green says that this kid needs to start. So they're just going to start all three guys, Clay, him. I would say you put Clay on the bench, TJ. What do you think about that?
No, I mean, you're not putting Clay on the bench.
But he's not the Clay that
saying that for months, but the dude's averaging 22 a game in these playoffs throughout these first two games. I know he had 21 game two.
Clay just seems like the odd man out to me right here. I just think Jordan Poole's better.
You are living in the moment, bro. You're living
the
in
playoffs the, are the moment.
The moment,
though.
Yeah. But Jordan Poole's never been there before. Klay Thompson has been there. Like, Klay Thompson.
I don't think Klay even trusts himself. He's just not the guy that we thought was going to come back.
I disagree with you, though.
Yeah, you've been saying that a lot about Klay.
Klay had 21 points, 9 for 19 from the field, 3 for 8 from 3. I mean, maybe he's not peak Klay the way he was before his injuries, but he's still an awesome player that is contributing huge, huge minutes and points to that team. So I think, honestly, what they do right now is, until they falter, you just keep the lineup the way it is.
You keep Steph on the bench?
Yeah, you just go with the flow. See what's happening. Until there's a time where it doesn't work, you just keep it going like this. You obviously have to play, in my opinion, all three of those guys, Poole, Clay and Steph, all in the fourth quarter, and have that death lineup with Wiggins and Draymond also, if the other team doesn't, isn't dominating inside. And I think you just keep it going the way it is right now, and you don't change success.
So they're your pick, right? They're your guys' pick to come out of the West. I know, Adam, you said it before, but TJ, you don't think anybody can beat
one could beat them. I thought maybe a 100% healthy Phoenix Suns could give them a run.
Yeah.
Again, hamstrings are tough, just like Dallas Mavs with Luka. Calf muscles are tough to come back from. The Jazz, and we said this yesterday, Chris, Jazz can't lose that a game to the Mavs if Luka's not playing. They can't. Brutal. You cannot lose that game. And with all due respect to Jalen Brunson, you know, you can't have him come in and, you know, hit you for 41 when there's no Luka on the court.
Which is so crazy because we had talked about that as we were leaving, just kind of BSing the other day. It was like, oh, what is Jalen Brunson's going to score 40 tonight and they're going to win? Yeah, actually, he can.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the three of us were talking 2 days ago or 3 days ago before we left, and it was just like, Jalen Brunson kind of got slept on. Two-time national champion, player of the year. I think he was on the all-decade team for NCAA basketball. You know,
great player.
Father gave me many migraines as I used to sit and scream at Rick Brunson's turnovers at the Staples Center when he played for the Clippers. You know, Jalen Brunson's one of these guys who, like, he's not the guy who's going to get all the commercials and all the fanfare, but that's a very solid guy. And if this man's going out and getting you 41 in the playoff game, it's just showing you that the moment's not too big for Jalen Brunson.
And also with Jalen Brunson, he's a guy that kind of needs the ball in his hands, and he's great at getting in the lane and facilitating to other people, especially creating open shots. And that's kind of Luka's role. So I think he's been able to be more in his natural role with Luka being out. So I think eventually Jalen Brunson will sign with another team and be able to show out more. But being a substitute for Luka, he's been incredible. So props to Jalen. Shout out Stevenson High School, where I went to school as well. So.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson's not a substitute for Luka. I mean, he's getting his run, you know.
You know what I mean, though.
He's getting more shots. Yeah, more shots with Luka out. I mean, he can still pop 20 with Luka in the lineup. Yeah, so the latest on Luka, Tim McMahon from ESPN, he's not going to play if there's risk of aggravating the injury. That's kind of a major factor in determining when he's cleared. Said that he's feeling good, quote, but isn't certain if he's going to play in game 3 on Thursday. So obviously we'll keep an eye on that. So injuries playing a big part in the playoffs when it comes to the West. Let's talk about the other big matchup going on, Wolves and Grizzlies. Grizzlies just routed last night, won by almost 30 at home. Did that surprise you guys, the way they were able to bounce back? TJ?
I wouldn't say it surprised me. I think that a lot of people slept on Minnesota. Okay. So when they came out,
fun team.
When they came out and won that first game, I think a lot of people were shocked. This could go 7.
I think so.
You know, but the T-Wolves did not look good yesterday.
No, they looked bad.
And
I think about as good as they played in game 1 was about as bad as they played in game 2. So that's kind of even. Maybe they're where they should be, but. You know, they were able to kind of steal home court.
Yeah.
They now have 3 home games coming up, games 3 and 4, and then should there be a game 6. Adam, you were big on Minnesota kind of this whole time. You thought Memphis was a little bit of a fraud heading into the postseason. You still feel that way now after 2 games in a 1-1 series?
Yeah, for sure. Minnesota did what they needed to do and steal home court. And I just think that they're a better team. They didn't look good last night, but going into games 3 and 4, Minnesota, the environment there is going to be crazy. They don't see that many home playoff games in their last 20 years, really. So that stadium is going to be hyped. I saw Craig Kilborn will be in attendance for games 3 and 4.
Love that. Kilby.
Yeah, so I just like that team. I think Anthony Edwards is a superstar, and I think Towns is a superstar also. So you have 2 guys that I think are superstars on that team that are young guys. And I think, you know, Ja looked great in game 2, but who knows with his injuries? He looked like he got hurt a little in game 2. He came back, but I just think I think Memphis is just a little, just too inexperienced, and I just don't see it for them this year. I think it's going to go 6 or 7 games in Minnesota.
And Minnesota
still
wins?
Yeah, I still believe that.
Man, Karl Anthony Towns, like, that was just not a good Towns game last night. How does a guy like him, his caliber, his skill set, he likes himself as a top 15, top 20 guy. How do you only get 7 shots in a playoff game if you're him? That was kind of troubling to me if I'm a Timberwolves fan. Vanderbilt only played 9 minutes, but Edwards, you know, he's going to get his. He's going to put up shots. He's 7 for 16. Not great, but he's getting. You got to see at least 16 shots from your big time players. Towns only 7 shots. That's concerning to me. D'Angelo Russell, 3 of 11. That's concerning to me. So we'll see. You know, I think it's for them to come out of there with a win, huge. Obviously, they flipped home court, and now let's see what they do with it in games 3 and 4, TJ.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Minnesota's just, man, you just don't know what you're getting out of it. Don't know what you're getting. Like you just said, I'm looking at that. Carl Anthony Towns should never have seven shots.
Never. Maybe seven shots per quarter.
Per quarter. I mean, it's your best player. Right. Like he's a dominant big man. He should be a dominant big man in this league. Yeah. The problem, not even the problem, I think the great thing about Memphis is this. We've said this the entire time we've been doing this podcast. Memphis wins when Ja's not present. Right? So
they also win.
They also win when he's not present. So the Grizzlies are deep. Looking at this squad, they're deep, and they all have similar body structures, it seems like. You got a bunch of guys who are like 6'7 to 6'9 long, play some defense. They got hops. A lot of these guys get up. I do believe that they're going to win the series. I don't think Minnesota will beat them, but I think it could take, you know, six games for them to come out on top.
Man, so now let's power rank the West. Now that we talked about the series, Adam, power rank the West for me right now.
Okay, so you have Golden State 1. You have, I still think Phoenix is number 2. I'd say
just top 4. I mean, just who you think is going to win each series, I guess.
Okay, so yeah, I think Utah beats Dallas still.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think
you still think Minnesota upset?
And I still think Minnesota, yeah, Memphis, yeah.
TJ, does that sit right with you? Or do you think Memphis?
I got Memphis, Golden State. I'm gonna stick with the Jazz, and then I'm gonna stick with the Suns.
I know, but it's
But if Booker's not in there,
we're higher registering the Suns. It feels like we're higher.
Yeah, it's a higher register.
Kinda, yeah.
God, I can't believe that.
Because Devin Booker is such an important piece of that puzzle. And as he goes, I feel that this team is going to go. And without him, you know, he plays with an attitude. He plays with a little chip on his shoulder. You know, if there's a scuffle, you know Devin Booker is going to be right there in the middle of it. Like, he's just kind of like the heart of this team. And
God, I just feel so bad. Like, you know, it's just so uneasy to higher register a 64-win team.
Apparently, he's been having these issues with his hamstring. Apparently, he had a hamstring issue in the finals last year, but kind of hit it. And then his other hamstring, he was hurt this year, and I think he missed like 6 or 7 games. So these are ongoing issues with him. That's not good for long-term. Even if they get past this round, this can be an issue the entire rest of the second round and if they get further.
Man, it's so crazy. All right, let's flip to the East. And, you know, we didn't lead with it because we've been talking about it for a few days now, but what went on Sunday in Boston, I mean, it felt like an NBA Finals game. It felt like one of the best playoff games that we've seen in quite some time. The Tatum game winner at the buzzer on the amazing spinning layup past Kyrie Irving. Just a completely fun, exciting, thrilling drama. It had kind of a little bit of everything. It had star players doing star player things. It had star players struggling. Marcus Smart eventually wins Defensive Player of the Year. Then a couple days later, you got a rookie coach and a second-year coach and the hostile environment. This Celtics-Nets, it was one game, but it kind of had everything we wanted out of the NBA playoffs.
Keep speaking on it because that's your team. Like, how are you feeling watching this game?
It was tough. I mean, Celtics up 12 in the second half, and you're like, great, this is cruising. This is about how I hoped it would go, kind of best-case scenario. Felt like maybe they could even have been up more because they missed so many easy shots. It felt like they missed so many layups, bunnies inside. Kyrie was starting to get it going, so that was concerning. And then midway through the third and through the fourth quarter, it just felt like everything he was throwing up was going to go in. I personally don't really care about what he does and the antics on the court regarding his interaction with the fans. I mean, I think that he started a lot of this. I mean, sure, look, Boston fans get a bad reputation, but they've earned that throughout the years. It's not everyone, obviously. It's just a handful of select people. Didn't someone throw a cup at him like last year or something too? It's like, that stuff goes on.
Oh, yeah, right?
This stuff goes on. They don't like him.
Mutual.
It's definitely mutual. It seems like he doesn't really care for them either. He does some things to kind of stoke the fire and ramp them up a little bit. So he should definitely expect everything that kind of comes his way, but he's a superstar, and so they don't what's that famous quote? They don't boo nobody. Jackson who said that. So they're not booing bums. And so Kyrie Irving isn't a bum. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's one of the best players in the league, and he was having an all-time performance in that game. Mm-hmm. So he was just throwing up shots. I mean, he hit that three to put him up 114, 111, and it was just like, my God, bro. Like, unbelievable game. And then just the way it ended, great defense at the end to kind of force him to give up the ball, too, and force Kevin Durant into a bad shot at the end of the shot clock. And then just, you know, remarkable heads-up play at the end by Jaylen Brown to not force a shot, by Marcus Smart to not force up a bad three, which I would have bet my life on that he was taking.
And I mean, then most people would have.
And then heads up play by Jason Tatum. Like, all you kids watching that game, cut to the basket.
Yeah.
Like, you are always open if you cut to the basket. And, you know, just Tatum is blossoming into a superstar, top five player in the league before our eyes. And as a Celtics fan, it's very exciting. He's only 23 years old. So, can't wait for tonight's game. By the time this comes out, by the time you guys are listening, that game will be going on. It might even be over. I hope that we're up 2-0, but we'll see. I mean, I certainly expect Brooklyn to win a couple of games in this series. But
you know, Chris, going back to that last play, you know, watching that play over and over and over again, it's just
So much happened on the last 12 seconds of that game.
But the thing about it is Marcus Smart was almost in – he was almost in danger of becoming a Ben Simmons. When he passed that ball – to Tatum, there was like 1.5 seconds left when he had
like
a jumper.
No time.
The fact that Tatum was able, and Tatum said that he and Smart made eye contact quickly as he cut. So the fact that Smart got that pass that barely missed Kyrie intercepting it, for Tatum to have just, I mean, obviously these are the best athletes in the world, right? For Tatum to be able to catch that ball, to spin and to shoot a layup at that angle, all within the time that he had, like there was no time for him to gather. There was no time for him to pump fake. It was like boom, spin, layup. And he did it all. And it was honestly, it was a thing of beauty to watch, but it was very close to being awful for them.
Yeah, Adam, I'm not sure. I mean, you were watching too. It's just like so much happened for Jaylen Brown to drive and not force up a fadeaway, which I kind of thought he was going to do at first with about 6 seconds left. And then when he threw it to Smart, I'm like, where are you throwing it? Oh, my God. He's like 25 feet from the basket, and there's a double team coming.
And he has irrational confidence, so you probably thought he was going to shoot that.
He's the most irrational. I mean, obviously, I play with irrational confidence, so I love players like that. But, man, that's like, okay, he's putting up this shot. We lost game one. It sucks. We had so many chances. Oh, my God, it's over. We won. And it's, you know, I thought Tatum was going to maybe dunk that, but I think if he went to dunk it, it might not have got out of his hand on time.
Yeah, I don't think it would have.
It's so rare to see game-winning layups to begin with. That never happens.
Totally.
And then we found out the stat that was the first time in Boston Celtics home history that they've won on a game-winning shot.
In the playoffs.
Which is fascinating to think about.
Unbelievable. All the great moments over the years, obviously 60s, 70s, 80s championship seasons. Never a playoff buzzer beater at home.
Yeah, that's hard to
believe. Unbelievable. And, you know, there was a great photo of Tatum celebrating and Kyrie dejected, kind of walking off. It was just kind of perfect kickoff to the playoff, and just such a great series. Like, you'll never see a 2-7 matchup like this where two teams you feel like could win the championship when it's all said and done. It's exciting. And then now the news that Ben Simmons might be back for game four, maybe game three, depending on how, you know, he progresses. I just find that so shocking, Adam, that he's going to even play in this series after sitting out the whole year.
Yeah, I'm pretty shocked as well. I think he can be very important, though. Not even to do anything in offense. If the Nets can just get some good defense out of Ben Simmons, and he's known to be a really good defender, that can be potentially the difference in the series, because they're kind of lacking on defense.
They don't need anything offensively out of him, because that's what you're going to get, nothing.
TJ has PTSD from his days with the Sixers right now.
Rightfully.
But you can get a few layups from him and, you know, just facilitate the offense a little. But I think the defense with him can be huge, getting another wing defender. And so, yeah, I think having him back for game four can make a huge difference.
But what are your expectations? I mean, this guy literally hasn't done much of anything. I mean, not that we've seen anything that's gone on in practice or really gotten any kind of in-depth reports, but it was, you know, it was the mental issues. That's why I'm not playing. Okay, fine. Totally understandable. Then it was like, oh, all of a sudden I've got back spasms. And so you can't really do any basketball-related activities. We haven't heard anything about one-on-ones or three-on-threes or five-on-fives. And now you're just going to play in like an NBA Finals-esque series for the first time all year?
It does seem absurd to think about that he's just going to step into this super intense game after not playing.
It's nuts to me.
But like I said, I think if you don't have that much expectations for him, and I don't have any expectations
for
him.
Yeah, I think my expectations are next to zero.
If he scores like 6 points and maybe has like 4 rebounds and plays good defense, I think that's a win for them.
But was he going to play, TJ, like 12 minutes a game? Are you really expecting Ben Simmons to go out and give you 30?
No.
And like crunch time defense?
Impossible. I mean, like again, going back to these are the best athletes on earth, but you can't sit out that long. And you have a bad back, and you're expecting me now to believe that you're going to come into a playoff game after sitting out, what, the last 9-10 months without playing in a game of this magnitude, and you're going to show up and have an impact? I just can't see that happen. But yeah, he could play defensively because that's what he does. You know, he's a great defender. So could he go out there and obviously, you know, make some type of impact on the defensive side of the ball? Perhaps, but it's going to take some time, man. You know, running up and down the court, that's takes some time to get your wind back, to get your legs back, and your back. We don't know how bad his back was. So, I don't know, man.
And I will say a problem with Ben Simmons also is you can't really have him in the at the end of the game because that can be a liability.
Exactly. Because guess what? Ben's coming.
Yeah, so it might be a situation where they just can't play him the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game because you know that the Celtics will try to foul him and put him in the line.
Yeah, I would say this. If they're going to play him, maybe wait till you get home. Because for as bad as Philly can be, like, it's not going to be much better for him if that Boston crowd gets on him.
No, and
so
it seems
that's
like,
the thing where, like, mentally he's having a hard time dealing with whatever it is. Like, you saw what Kyrie Irving is out there flipping. Like, I realize WrestleMania just happened, and maybe he got caught up in the whole Stone Cold thing.
Maybe he did.
But you cannot go out there, and like, I understand, and I can imagine what was being said to this man, right?
I mean, I can guess.
To the point where I just have to go back because Jackie Robinson Day just happened, right? So I have to think, what I know about Jackie Robinson, the stories my grandpa would tell me, the things that were said to that man, I guarantee you, weren't said to Kyrie. Okay, because fortunately, I have a little bit more faith in humanity that if some of the things that were said to Jackie Robinson were said today, there would be someone around who would take that matter into their own hands because there's got to be some good people in that crowd. So I don't believe that he had to endure what Jackie did. But I think like if Jackie Robinson reacted in such a way that most of us would react, then, you know, history would be changed because maybe now people don't get the same chance, but because Jackie was able to internalize it and not react in the way, it opened doors. So I kind of think of it like that, and I think, man, Kyrie, like, I get that you're mad, but going around, like, flipping people off and you're on, I don't know. I like I said, I understand what was being said, and I know how I would want to react personally, but at some point, I think you got to just, look, man, you got to be a professional and to go around just flipping everybody off from the court. I don't know.
I love it personally. I love the villain crowd dynamic. You had that with Reggie Miller and the Knicks. You had that with Trae Young with the Knicks. And now it's the Kyrie with the Celtics. I personally love it. I think it is a little immature what he was doing in terms of flipping everybody off. But in terms of just
kind of doing like the.
Yeah, but I actually found that funny a little bit. I did. I guess I'm just the whole let's flip the whole arena off. Like, yeah. I think it's a bad look for him is basically what it comes
down to. And obviously he doesn't really care.
Yeah, so I guess I shouldn't.
I think he has long stopped caring what people think about him and what they say and what they write. And, you know, and that's fine. Like I said, so I don't really want to give much voice to
it. I think secretly the NBA likes it also because you know that the ratings will be up tonight because everybody wants to see that dynamic between Kyrie and the crowd.
Gosh. I mean, that game peaked at 10 million viewers in the middle of a Sunday afternoon. That's a monster number for the NBA playoffs round one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a huge number. And tonight, you know, it's a little bit earlier start on the West Coast, but that's 7 Eastern tonight in Boston. Like, I mean, those guys, I mean, everyone probably called out sick at Boston Dirt and Gravel. Like, they've been boozing all day, ready to yell at Kyrie. And you thought it was bad on Sunday? It's going to be 10 times worse tonight.
Yeah, we have a night game. Yeah,
like, the booze every time he touches the ball are one thing, but come on, it's going to be bad tonight.
Yeah. Also, one thing for the Celtics to watch out for. I mean, I realize Durant had 23 in the first game.
He's not going to be that bad.
He was 9-24. Yeah. That's a bad Kevin Durant game, right? Yeah. So now you have to understand that you're going to get a Durant, who's...
Well, it's going to balance out. Like, Kyrie's not going to never miss and go for 40, and Durant's not going to, you know, shoot 33%.
I mean, because you know you're great when you have 23 points, and we're like, eh, you didn't play that well. Yeah, like, you know, some people...
Durant game.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Let's talk about some of these other series. Adam, your Bulls got a shot?
No.
No? They played pretty good, man. I was pretty impressed.
I think game one was...
Bad Levine day, but, you know, DeRozan wasn't great, and they were still in that game. They had a lead in the fourth quarter.
We played great defense during that game. I think game one was the ultimate chance for the Bulls to steal that against the Bucks. The Bucks didn't play well. Giannis had a great game, but Middleton and Jrue Holiday didn't shoot well. The problem with the Bulls, we played great defense, but I wrote this down. When you have your three main stars in Levine, DeRozan, Vucevic shoot 21 for 71 from the field, you don't have a chance no matter how good of defense you play. 21 for 71.
Some quick math here.
Yeah, I'm not great with math. I know that's pretty bad, though.
21 is 29.5%.
Yeah, you have your three best players shooting that. There's no way you're going to win the game. And that was the game to steal. That was a golden opportunity.
Why is Vucevic shooting 27 times? Like, who are, like,
a lot of
Patrick
shots.
Williams was afraid. He needs to start shooting more. Patrick Williams has a lot of talent, but you could tell that he was scared in the moment. He didn't shoot.
Bro, 27 shots for him is way too much. Like,
no, Vucevic is a good player.
He's a good player. Good player in Orlando. He's been good for you guys.
27 is probably too much. He should probably be shooting like 15 to 20 times a game.
Yeah. I'm saying I believe he took more shots than any other player in the league in the playoff game so far. I could be wrong, but I think so. Like,
it was a lot. I mean, DeRozan needs to step up, and I've heard from Toronto Raptors fans that's the downfall for DeRozan is that they say he doesn't play well, you know, in big games in the playoffs. Yeah. Unfortunately, game one kind of justified what they were saying. He didn't play well. I saw him. He was taking shots apparently like super late night at the Bucks Stadium last night. So I don't question his work ethic or desire. I think, you know, he has that. But this guy just needs to step up in game two and take over, because if he doesn't shoot well again, it's along with Zach, we just don't have any chance. We'll probably get swept. I don't think we're going to get swept. I think we'll win a game. But I think that game one was really a great chance. And I love what Caruso did. Caruso played such great defense. And it just sucks that we don't have Lonzo, because we could have had Caruso coming off the bench, adding more depth. And I think if the Bulls had Lonzo in game one, we win that game. I think he's that important. So, you know.
I think if you guys have Lonzo, maybe this goes 6 or 7.
Yeah, absolutely. I still think the Bucks would win, but it would be close. And, you know, Giannis, you just can't stop him. And we talked about Brook Lopez coming back. Brook Lopez was big in that game. He had 18 points, 5 rebounds. He opens the floor. He can shoot threes. So having Brook Lopez is key for the Bucks. I think Middleton doesn't shoot as bad as he did in game one. And I think that the Bucks end up blowing out the Bulls in game two.
I just think, TJ, it comes back to like what people were saying last year about the Bucks. Like, they're so talented. They've got Giannis and all these great players. They just do dumb things. Like, That game should have been a blowout in game one. You got the Bulls who are down. They're injured. They're kind of like limping into the playoffs almost. You're at home. You're the defending champs. Just blow the doors off these guys, and you just let them hang around. You let them hang around, and all of a sudden you find yourself down in the fourth quarter at home. And, yeah, they pulled it out, and they won. You know, they covered my tees, which was great. But it's just like, you know, I just want to see them play a 48-minute basketball game, you know, in a complete series, TJ, before I still think they're going to come out of the East. Maybe my attitude about that, maybe my opinion about that will change in the next week or so by the time we hit next week's episode. But I still think Milwaukee's going to the finals. But, man, I just want to really see it out of them. I want them to take it.
Yeah, but it's not like the Bulls are bad. The Bulls, you know, they had the best record in their conference for a little bit.
I know, they're not bad. They're just banged up.
They're banged up. That's still a solid squad. So I don't think it's anything like Milwaukee's just going to go in there and curb stomp them. Like, they're going to.
No, but I think coming into this series, a lot of people thought this was one of the ones that were going to be a sweep, I think.
Yeah, I never thought that.
No,
I think this
Adam,
Bulls team
thought,
is too good to get swept.
Fan.
No, I thought the Bulls would win one game. I still think Bucks in five.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right, that's fair. All right, TJ, let's talk about your team. This is a curb stomping, speaking of. Man. Philly looks so good. Embiid looks unstoppable. Maxey is taking that Jordan Poole leap. I know we're gushing about Poole on the big show, I know, because Rich has kind of been on them all season, and Poole went to Michigan, but... Man, we really should be talking about Tyrese Maxey.
He is balling. You know, and, you know, I want to talk about something before Maxi. It's this James Harden thing. I'm very confused because I don't know which James Harden we're going to get every game. You know, he had 14 assists in game one. Cool. But last game, 14 points, he was 3 of 9. Let me explain to you what I don't want. I don't ever want to see a James Harden stat where he's 3 of 9. I'd rather see James Harden 2 of 18 or 2 of 19 than only shoot 9 times. Yeah. It seems as though watching James that I don't know if mentally something's off. He doesn't seem as aggressive. He's not attacking the rim. And I hate to say it, but it seems like all of these issues that usually clouded James Harden in the playoffs that we always talked about as being a yeah, but with James Harden, they're still here. And I thought those issues would go away because he's not number one on the call sheet anymore.
Right.
Right. So you don't have to be the guy who's scoring 35, 40 a game. But I don't know, man. I'm happy because we were up 2-0 and Bede's looking dominant, although he had that point where he and ran into like Thibault collided. And looked like his elbow may have hyperextended.
And then him and Harden kind of ran into each other.
I'm like, and honestly, guys, I'm watching these Sixers games. I got to be honest. I watch these games with a little bit of fear because every time Embiid goes down, which is a lot, that's another problem I have with Embiid. He's too big. I don't know if it's flopping or whatever. That guy hits the ground way too much. You can't constantly pick 7 feet, 2 inches and 280 pounds up off the ground that much, man. He's got to. Have you guys noticed this as well?
He spends
always on the ground.
And I'm not saying he's flopping, but it's like.
No, he just finds himself on the ground. He takes a lot of big, hard hits on the ground.
And so that, like every game, and I think personally I'm watching these games just waiting. I'm waiting for, there goes the broken finger, or, you know, here goes the hyperextended elbow.
Right.
I can't get comfortable watching these Sixer games because I'm so conditioned for something wrong or something bad to happen. So I'm not happy watching these games because I'm sitting there like, okay, he's going to fall. He's going to break something. Something bad's going to happen. That's just where I am as a Sixer fan. I can't get happy because I'm so afraid something bad's going to happen.
Yeah, and I totally get that, too. I mean, I'm looking at Harden. He played 41 minutes in game one. He played 40 minutes in game two. So he's out there.
Yeah, he's durable. There. He's durable.
Yeah, but like, does he just look off to you?
Yeah, I don't know if he just doesn't have the same chemistry with these guys yet coming onto the team halfway through the season. And obviously, maybe it's in his head with the playoff thing that, you know, that's kind of been a stigma with him, so it might get into his head. And I think Maxi is really taken over as the number two guy on that team now.
I think so, too.
That's better for the team in the long run if Harden is just the number three guy and he can have occasional moments of greatness, but really Maxi establishes himself. He's young. He's only 21 still. But he's established himself right now as a competent number two guy on a potential championship-winning team.
The problem with Harden being your number three guy is he has too much domination of the ball. Your number three guy can't control the ball for 20 seconds out of the shot clock.
Your number three guy can if you're distributing the rock the way he did in game one. Like I said,
he
had 14 assists.
Yeah, he had 14 dimes.
Very pedestrian stat line for him in game two with 14.6 dimes and 6 rebounds and, you know, 5 turnovers. So you're right. He has the ball a lot. I don't know what it is. Just something's not passing the eye test right now, but I can't complain because we're up 2-0. But again, I've been snake bit so much, I can't even get comfortable with
this. Do you think Toronto gets one tonight? Or this week?
Yeah, you would think.
They're a good team. Siakam has really taken a leap to being one of the top players.
Yeah, Toronto has one of the best
home crowds
for sure. And unfortunately, I was reading that Scotty Barnes probably won't play again, which is a huge loss for them.
That's too bad.
But I think Toronto will get one game at home, and the series will probably be over in 5.
All right, what's more likely? This series goes 6, Toronto gets both of these home games, or in one of these Toronto games, we have that 35-10-8 James Harden game. TJ?
I picked the Sixers in 6 at the beginning of these playoffs.
Okay.
And after the first game, I was like, man, it should have been 4. Toronto, like you said, very good team. You know, they still have some championship players. They're still on this squad. That home crowd, it's raucous up there, you know. And I don't know if they'll get 2, but I'd be very shocked if the Sixers went up there and just completely took every game up north. So I would assume that Toronto at least gets one win. Be shocking if they didn't.
God, Embiid looks so good though, Adam.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, we've argued all year over who's the MVP. You know, you have Jokic, and really it's been Jokic, Giannis, and Embiid. And Jokic was my pick to win the MVP, but right now in the first two games of the playoffs, you know, Jokic was good, but Embiid's looking like the dominant force right now. And so it's going to be tough to stop him. There's nobody really that can guard him. I mean, I guess like Bam could potentially, you know, put up a fight against him, but there's nobody else besides really Bam and maybe Giannis, but Giannis doesn't even really guard centers. So it's, as long as Embiid stays healthy, which obviously you're super, super nervous about, which makes sense. He's going to get 30 points and 10 rebounds every game.
Yeah, no matter what.
Just whatever he wants to do.
It's kind of like, you know, when you go to Target and you just automatically start your bill at $50. Like, no matter what. Like, try to spend under 50 at Target. You can't do it. Embiid walks in the stadium 30 and 10.
Yeah, it's automatic every time. Yeah. So you just have to have the role players. You really need to have Harden step up. He really is the key. Because Maxey's,
well, for them, I don't think, I mean, they could have Harden kind of do what he's doing right now, and then they're going to win this series. But if they want to win the East, like,
you need Harden, like,
we need 28, 12, and 7, you know, we need it out of this guy for you, TJ.
Yeah, and also, you know, quiet is kept. Guys like Danny Green, who I was like, Danny Green has to step up a little, which he has. He had 3 threes in game 2. And also Tobias Harris, for whatever reason. I don't know if there's Tobias Harris slander or he just doesn't get talked about, but last year during the playoffs, I believe he scored 20 points in every game except for 2 in the playoffs.
He's just so quiet. He goes about his business very quiet.
Yeah, he's not going to make a bunch of highlight reels or anything, but, you know, 20 points a night for 20-point Toby. If we could get that every night, I'm loving our chances.
By the way, 26 in game 1, 20 in game 2. He's doing it so far.
He's very, like I said, he's, I don't know if it's under the radar or what it is. No one really talks about him. But
Before we wrap up, anything to say about Heat Hawks? I mean, Jimmy Butler, what a performance.
Yeah, I have something to say about Heat Hawks.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's over. That's it.
Yeah.
It's a wrap. I mean, Hawks did well last year, of course, as we know, get in the playoffs. But right now, it's just like you watch these two games.
No,
and it's
Capella,
just,
too. You know,
yeah, it's just like the Heat are rolling, and they kind of have it over this Hawks team.
Let's power rank.
Might be a sweep.
Well, no, I was just gonna say that Jimmy Butler is consistently overlooked as a superstar player, and I think maybe, you know, he has solid seasons where he scores 20 points a game in the season, but come playoff time, Jimmy Butler's proven to be consistently clutch. And so he is a legitimate number one guy on a team that can win a championship. And he's been proving it. He had 45 points yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so I think the Heat are such a good team. And I think it's going to be between them and the Bucks in an amazing potential matchup to win the East.
All right, power rank the East on where you guys feel after two games, with game 2 in Boston still to come tonight.
I would say Bucks. You have to. I mean, until someone beats them, got to keep them at number one, I would think, right? They're the defending champions. They've got Giannis, who's arguably the best player on planet Earth. So I would say you'd have to go them number one. Probably, Adam, what you just said about the Heat, probably have the Heat at 2, put the Sixers at 3. Nets Celtics. The only reason I don't put them up there is because I feel this is going to be a 6 or 7 game series.
Right.
So I mentioned them last because I feel like they're going to be the last two teams playing in this playoffs in this division. You know. So I don't know. I don't know who wins this series. I'm eager to find out.
I know. I think when I do mine, I was going to pull a TJ and, you know, we're power ranking top 4, but I'm going to have 5.
Feel free. I ain't mad at you.
I mean, I think Heat's number 1 right now, to be honest, with Bucks 2, and then the winner of Celtics Nets, I think, are 3, and then the Sixers are in that 5 spot for me right now, if we're talking about who's going to win the title.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. I have 100% the same thing as you, and it's pretty amazing because I'm looking at this list of teams, and I think this is the first time in forever where I would not be shocked if the Bucks won the East, the Heat won the East, the winner of the Nets or Celtics won the East, or even the Sixers won the East.
Yeah, so me neither. All 5 teams.
Win the Eastern Conference, and I would not be shocked at any of those teams. So it's a wide-open conference right now, and it's going to be fun to watch down the stretch because it hasn't been like this in years where you just don't know.
And by the way, you got guys who are hungry. Embiid, you know, he wants that ring.
Wants
he needs that ring.
Jimmy
Butler wants that ring. He needs that ring. You know, Kyrie, you think Kyrie doesn't want a ring after all the things that he's gone through?
And all the crap like everyone says about Durant.
You think Durant needs this ring because he's tired of hearing that you had to go to Golden State and you couldn't win on your own. Like, there are people, there are desperate men in this division, in this conference, who a ring would just, I mean, obviously a ring's going to mean
It changes the conversation around everyone.
And it's going to change. James Harden gets a ring. Now what? You know what I mean? Now the entire discussion around James Harden, it's different. So, I mean, of course, like I said, everybody wants a ring. Everybody would love a ring. But there are some people here who, like, their stories are going to be greatly affected in a positive way just by saying, you got that Larry.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's five teams in the East that can win it. I think there's probably three teams in the West that can win it. When have we gone to an NBA playoffs with eight teams that can you can legit say they can win the championship?
I can't remember the last time.
Like, no idea. Like,
it's
none.
Been a while.
It's one of the best NBA playoffs of our lifetimes, and I hope we're all enjoying it. All right, we can't get the winning time because I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, well,
okay. So I was sick on Sunday, and then had some stuff going on the last 2 days, so I haven't seen it yet. So we'll catch up on episodes,
seven and eight
next week. And then we'll see where these playoff matchups are after a few more games. All right. For Adam and Chris. Adam and TJ, I'm Chris. All right.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
What? All right. Enjoy the games, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Later.